I believe that as we are born again of the Holy Spirit, I give my life to God, that I don't really have to witness to a lot of people. I believe that by my personal life, I can become a testimony where I work, wherever it may be. But the question is, are you willing to be holy even as He is holy?
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Ries in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has served the Lord for nearly 5 decades. In that time, he's made many mistakes, but has always done his best to honor God with humble obedience. For reassurance from Raul's testimony of his lifelong journey with the Lord, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com, or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. Today, as Raul continues our study of God's unique callings on our lives as Christians, we're glad you've joined us for inspiration from the prophet Isaiah. When the Lord commissioned Isaiah to a life set apart in holiness, he responded with a willing heart and a readiness to obey. Stay with us here on Somebody Loves You Radio to see that giving your life to God isn't a one-time verbal commitment, but rather an ongoing decision to follow His leading with absolute submission. Here's Raul Ries now with the lesson, The Call to Holiness. Join us in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 12.
Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the knees that are feeble. And make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Look in diligently, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause you trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessings, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. And though he sought it diligently with tears. Now we know the story of Esau, that Esau sold his birthright. And so many times when people look at their own personal lives and you talk to them about holiness and you ask them what they believe about that, most of them don't have an answer. But yet how many people do you know today that are living holy lives? Because many times when you speak of a holy life, to people, they seem to freak out. They think of being a nun or a monk or a priest or being someone that is out of this world. And yet the Bible is so clear when it talks about holiness. Because holiness is a way of life when we look at the scriptures. And one of the things that Paul the Apostle was talking about here, he's actually saying that no one will ever see the Lord unless they are holy before God. Turn with me for a second to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Here's Isaiah the prophet asked of God to speak to the people of God when they were actually in idolatry. And Isaiah is being dealt as a person individually, not as a nation. But God is speaking to Isaiah personally. And he's placing a call in the prophet's life to call him to go to the people of God and proclaim the message of God to them. It says in verse 1 of chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, it is interesting that before King Uzziah died, Isaiah could not see the Lord. But the moment people got their eyes off those that were in the world, and this person died, immediately the eyes of Isaiah turned toward the Lord, and he was able spiritually to see his God. And the calling of God became true to him. He says, and above stood the seraphim, each one having six wings, and two with it covered his face, and with the other two he covered his feet, and with the other two he flew around. This was an angelic being in heaven that had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, his breast, and then his feet. And he actually flew with them. And it's the presence of the holiness of God around the throne of God where these angels are protecting the holiness of God on the throne of God. This is the picture here in Isaiah chapter 6. And then he says, and one cried and with another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with the smoke. That is the Shekinah glory of God. And then I said, here's Isaiah speaking now. When he sees the Shekinah glory of God, he sees the angels around the throne of God. He says, woe is me, for I am undone. What do we see? We see a total humility in the life of the prophet. Who am I that God should call me? Who am I that God should use my life? Who am I that God should give me his grace and his love and his mercies? And yet God has chosen you and chosen me. Woe is me, for I am a man undone because I am a man of unclean lips. And notice what he says, and I live, notice, I live where? In the middle of a people of unclean lips. Which means what? That Isaiah made a difference in his life. He recognized that all around him were sinners and evil and sin everywhere that he went. But he was going to stand for God in the midst of all this evil. Look what else he says. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, which means that Isaiah had a tremendous relationship with God. He had an experience with God. And then he said, then one of the seraphims flew over to me, having his hand with a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And then he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips now. Your sin is taken away and your sin now is purged. And then I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here am I, send me. And then he said, go and tell these people, keep on hearing and do not understand. Keep on seeing and do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes lest they see with their eyes and hear with their notice and with their ears and understand with their heart and return to be healed. And then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities laid waste and without inhabitants and the houses are without a man and the land is utterly desolate. God was going to bring judgment. But before God would bring his judgment, Isaiah the prophet was given the responsibility, the opportunity to go out and tell people about the holiness of God. What God proclaimed, what God desired from every person in this world. And yet when you look at the story of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is speaking the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7 and 8. We see that Jesus said in Matthew 5, 13, 14, 15, and 16, he says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. Speaking of the church's testimony, the salt that we possess. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Notice what he says. I believe that as we are born again of the Holy Spirit, I give my life to God. And I began to read and I began to pray. I began to study and began to develop spiritually in the Lord. That I don't really have to witness to a lot of people. I believe that by my personal life, I can become a testimony where I work or where I go to school or in my neighborhood or by the store, wherever it may be. But the question is, are you willing to be holy even as He is holy? It literally means to be separate, which means you separate yourself to who? To God. It doesn't mean that I leave the world and I go to a desert place and I become a hermit or a monk. No. God wants you to be holy in the midst of uncleanness, in the midst of darkness, to be a light so that people can see that you really have been touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And then he talked about what? Bitterness. Bitterness will keep you from the holiness of God. Fornication will keep you from the holiness of God. All these sins that creep up on people's lives, all these sins that destroy the holiness of God within our own personal lives. And yet people are watching you. They're watching me. And people make conclusions by the way we act, by the things that we say, by the things that we do, by the way we respond to situations. And yet we know that the greatest example we have is Jesus Christ. He's the one that has become the greatest example for every child of God that wants to pursue after peace and pursue after holiness, which no man ever will see the Lord unless we are holy. The example that we set for our children, the example that we set for our nephews and nieces, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, those that we work with, people are constantly looking for God. Why? Because man is empty. And we have the answer. And the answer is to pursue after peace. And who is the great King of peace? Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can bring peace to any one of our lives here today. What does the Bible say about holiness? Well, first of all, the believer is elected to holiness. The moment you come to Jesus Christ and you receive His grace and mercies, as you repent, the Bible says you become holy in the presence of God. In Romans 8:29, Paul said, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Then at the same time, we know that believers are called to holiness. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, "For God did not call us unto uncleanness, but in holiness." You see, our call is in the holiness of God. And then the believer is to be holy. Ephesians 4:24, speaking of the new man. "And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Notice that. In holiness. And then, of course, we recognize that believers are what? Are the temple of the holy living God. My body now doesn't belong to me anymore. It used to. I could do whatever I wanted to do with my body. But as I submitted my life to Christ, as I become a Christian, now my body becomes the temple or the church of God, where God dwells, where God lives. This is not the temple of God. This is just a place we meet. Keep out the wind, the rain, the heat. But the real place where God lives is that place where a person invites Him into their hearts. And then He comes in. And in my life, in my heart, He lives. And Paul the Apostle, speaking to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, said, "Don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles a temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You see? God lives in living people, not dead people. And the word that he uses here for temple in the Greek language, it's an interesting word. It talks about the holiest of holies, where actually God dwells. Where God revealed himself in the Old Testament in the house of God. And now God lives in my temple. My body becomes a temple of God. Where he lives, where he dwells. Where we have fellowship one with another. And then at the same time, concerning this believer's life of holiness, we recognize that the believer, again, his body becomes the central place where God dwells and wants to live forever and ever until we die. In Romans 6:13 and 19, Paul the Apostle speaking about reckoning the old man to be dead, he says, and don't present your bodies as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present your bodies to God as being alive from the dead, and that your bodies as instruments of righteousness to God. You see? And then I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your bodies as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your bodies as slaves of righteousness for holiness. There it is again. For holiness. When we become holy, it's not somebody that's very serious and very pious and very self-righteous. That's not holiness. It's a way of life. The way you live your life. And then, of course, a believer has to not only be the temple of God, but look what Peter said. In 1 Peter 1:15, he says, but as he who has called you is holy, you also ought to be holy in all manner of life or conduct. In every area of my life, the holiness of God has to be there. And then the believer's fruitfulness in holiness. In John 15:8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so that, notice, then you will be my true disciples. Separated to God, obeying God, doing the will of God through faith in Jesus Christ makes me his disciple. Makes me a son of God, a daughter of God. Not in disobedience, but in true obedience. And then the believers have to pursue holiness, just like we read this morning in Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all men and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Think of all the people in the flood at the time of Noah, going back in Genesis chapter 6. When there were as many people as there are today on planet Earth. And God came to one man by the name of Noah. And he began to share with him. And began to share that there was going to be a universal flood. But that God would give men 120 years and then the end would come. Out of all those millions of people, how many people survived the flood after 120 years? Only 8 people. 8 people that decided to be holy unto God. The rest of the world perished in the waters. And all the way through the scriptures in the Old Testament and all through the New Testament, God desires that his people would be holy. Thirdly, believers' reason for holiness, number one, because God is a holy God. In 1 Peter 1:15-16, Peter said, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all conduct, because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. And it's because of God's mercies. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the will of God? That I would present my body a living sacrifice and that I would be holy. Not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind. That can only come through my submission to the Word of God and obeying the Word of God. And then thirdly, because of the love that Christ has for us. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, 15, Paul said, "For the love of Christ constrains us or compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live now should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." We don't live for ourselves anymore. We live for him. Why? Because this life is so temporal. Life moves so rapidly compared to eternity. When you're young, it seems to drag. As you get into your middle ages, man, it seems to move so rapidly as you're moving into old age. And then death comes and you're in the presence of God forever and ever and ever and ever. Christ's love constraining us. And then because of eternity, Ephesians 5:5 says, "For this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous man, no idolater will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God." No one apart from holiness will ever see God. And then it is also commanded in 2 Peter 3:11, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, then what manner of persons are you to be in holy manner of life and all godliness?" You see? All the way through the scriptures, God desires that you and I would be a holy people to him, separated, standing for what's right, voting for what's right, always going against what is wrong. No compromising in the gospel of Jesus Christ or with my body or with my life. But I stand true to the Word of God.
We certainly hope today's message has challenged you to a deeper level of commitment to the Lord as you make the conscious decision to fully surrender your heart and life to His will. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Now, if you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll be glad to send you a complete CD copy for a donation of $5 or more. To get that, simply call 800-634-9165 and ask for the lesson, The Call to Holiness. Now, to further motivate you in choosing absolute submission, we'd like to tell you about an insightful CD pack from Rawl simply titled, The Call. It's a 5-message audio series that explores more of what it looks like to set aside your own agenda to follow the Lord's teaching in humble obedience. You'll see that as you respond to God's guidance and walk with Him in dedicated faith, He'll open doors of opportunity to do things in the building of His kingdom. Contact us for this inspiring 5-CD resource. To place your order, visit somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you The Call audio series for a gift of $20 or more. That's 800-634-9165. Or you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We invite you to enjoy our many free Somebody Loves You resources as well. To keep the Bible at your fingertips, take a moment to download our free app to your iPhone or Android. You'll have instant access to a personal devotion plan, digital Bible studies, and more teaching from Rawl. You can also join Rawl on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program with biblical guidance for godly living. Plus, we've archived all of the Somebody Loves You radio programs for you to explore and download at your convenience using iTunes or Spotify. Our number one goal here is to support you in your spiritual growth with God's life-giving Word. Let us know how we can best serve you. We'd also love to pray for you as well, so when you contact us, don't hesitate to share those needs. This ministry is made possible through the partnership of listeners like you. Every contribution you make is tax deductible, and your generous donations help keep us on the air. Join us next time as we meditate on more truths from the Word of God. There's no better source of hope and direction than the Bible, and we look forward to being with you again. Here's Rawl now once again with a final thought.
And then finally, Dr. Wordsby said this. He said, one of the essential differences between mere outward piety and true holiness is the piety that makes you conform to a system, while true holiness conforms you to Christ and develops your own individuality. I like that. We are individuals. You cannot live for me and I cannot live for you. You have to live for yourself. And that's how we submit our hearts and our minds and my hands and my feet and my ears and my eyes and my mind. I give to God to do whatever He wants to do in my life. Why? Because I'm looking to eternity. Eternity is the key, not this world. This world is going to pass on sooner or later. And the more we seek Him and the more we know Him, the greater my life will be, because God will fill me not only with His Holy Spirit, but with His power. And I'll be able to say, yes, I am separated to my God.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.